This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Diane McConnell,
Steve Tolley,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, in the last episode you were talking about how you gradually got more and more into music and into the local music scene, yeah. Organising all sorts of events.
Yeah.
So and we're up to about 1973.
Yeah, 73, yeah. 74.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all through this time, I'd been going to a second-hand bookshop in George Street, underneath where we all used to have the old RSA youth club. And it was called Cambridge Books. Yeah. And it had been there since the 1930s.
And that's where Cafe Cuba is now, up at the top of the road.
Next to it.
Okay.
Remember, a women's hairdresser's there, run by a Koreans, I think, just in there. Yeah. Well, that used to be our shop. That used to be the Cambridge Bookshop.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I used to go there as a teenager because I was always into reading. Mm. My two things were reading and music. They were listening to music. And after I got married, so I met Robin, and the first night we met, we went back to her place and we sat there and we talked about books and music for two hours. So we got together very, very quickly. Robin was a widow with a child, a small child.
And you're similar age?
She's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
And we got on...
But she was a widow with a...
Yeah, yeah. Her husband was killed in a car accident.
Oh.
And she was by herself for a couple of years, and then we met. We got together very quickly. not long after we'd been together, about 6 months, probably not even that, we moved, and we moved out, right out into the country, to a place called Colleton address, but we were closer to Bohongana than anything else, about 4 km from Bohongana, up Finnis Road. And we lived there for 3 years. But while we were there, I'd been teaching now for 6 years. I was actually teaching at Ashurst now. And I decided that it really wasn't for me. Although I loved the kids and I loved the classroom, all the other stuff I wasn't very good at.
And it's even worse now.
I wasn't very good at planning, and I wasn't very good at all the rest of the stuff that you had to do.
You had to prepare your own teaching schedules and everything. Yeah.
And I must admit, I was quite lazy. Let's be honest here. But I loved the classroom, and I loved the kids, and I realised that I wasn't really going to ever go anywhere. So one day I talked to Robin and I said, I've had enough of this, I want to do something else. So she said, well, start looking for jobs. So I did, and there was a job advertised at the TAB. God knows why I wanted to work for the TAB, but it looked like a job that I could possibly do.
Okay.
Because what else could I do? I mean, I was a teacher. I had no other skills.
Yeah.
And we went into town, and I went to the job interview, and then we went round to the Cambridge bookshop to get some books, because Robin had been going there since she was a child as well.
Okay,
yeah. So, and we went in, and the guy knew us both, of course, because we were both regulars. And he said, what are you doing in town? And I said, well, you know, I've had enough of teaching. I said, I'm looking for another job. And he said, well, this place is for sale. Why don't you buy this?
Boy, talk about chance.
And I thought, Mum and Dad were overseas at the time. They'd gone back to a trip to England.
Yeah.
And so we had a thought about, think about it, and we didn't have very much money.
Hmm.
So we thought, oh, well. So I rang Mum and Dad back in England, and because I knew where they were staying. And I said, look, this is what's been offered to us. Will you back me if something goes wrong? And they said, yeah, we will. So we thought, right. So it didn't cost us
much. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had two sisters.
Okay.
A younger sister and an older sister. Okay. But my older sister left very early. She's 3 years older than me. And as soon as she was 19, 20, 21, I can't remember how old now, she went back to Britain.
Oh, okay.
And never really came back.
Because she would have come here a bit older and already
12.
Put down roots in Britain. Yeah.
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 And she never liked living in Ashurst in any case.
Okay.
Yeah. My younger sister, she's 7 years younger.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a big age gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Robin and I discussed it and worked it out, and we thought, oh, why not? So we bought the Cambridge Bookshop. Well, honestly, my salary doubled.
Yeah.
It was a mint. It was a fantastic little shop.
Did you do any assessment first as to how much to pay and what the turnover was?
No, we had a look at things, you know. Yeah, we had a look at the books and everything like that. Got someone to check it all out for us. And we thought it would be a good investment.
Okay.
But, yes.
And was it, so your knowledge of books helped? Was it?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And Robin's as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And she knew about stuff that I didn't know about, and I knew stuff.
So what sort of things were you saying? What was the market?
Well, the market, it was an interesting market because people used to go and they had very cheap books, and then they had books with a little bit more.
Yeah.
So people used to, you had your regulars who used to come in every week.
Yeah.
They'd bring in 5 books, they'd take out 5 books.
Yeah.
They'd bring in 10 mils and boons, and they'd take out 10 mils and boons. And there was just this repeat customers all the time.
They wouldn't use the library, right?
No.
Next door to the library.
No. Well, the library within.
Oh, of course, he was over the other side of the square.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we used to sell comics, lots of comics, lots of magazines, huge numbers of different styles of magazines, books. They used to have racks of 10-cent books.
Okay.
So, you know, they were cheap.
Yep.
And then you got your more expensive books. And it was a little gold mine. It was fantastic.
Okay.
So we'd been in there probably about 6 months, maybe a year. And I thought, why not put some second-hand records in? So I went through my collection, or our collection, and our collections have melded.
Yeah.
I mean, some records we have doubles up of now, because Robin's collection and my collection. So we went through, sorted out all our excess. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine, a guy called Ruma Kraitiana, who is actually very high up in the Rangitani now. And he sorted his record collection out and gave me a whole load. And we put them in the shop. Well, it just grew and grew and grew. And it started to become a major part
of the shop. This was other people selling their records to you.
To me and buying the stuff we got.
Okay.
So we became a second-hand record shop as well.
Yeah.
And then we got, I thought, well, this is going quite nicely. Then we started getting posters in. So we changed the whole thing of the shop. And it was very successful. We did very well. But we were on a month-to-month lease.
Okay.
And we could never get a bigger lease because the building was always up for sale. And we heard that Fletcher's had got an option on it. And we thought, maybe it's time to look for somewhere more permanent. So I spotted a shop down in further down George Street, and I approached the landlord and I said, if that shop ever becomes available, I'd quite like it. So it was a bigger shop, and meant we could expand a little bit. So about after a year, he came and approached me and said, yes, the shop's available. And I said, okay, we'll move. So we did. Biggest mistake we ever made. It was good for the first year.
Yeah.
First couple of years, it was good. We did very, very well. But then all of a sudden, everything changed. Students had to pay fees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Benefits cuts came in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. DIC closed down, which was a big, big draw card.
Because that was a big store where the library is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And all these things, the rent went up a huge amount.
Yeah.
The insurances went up a huge amount.
And were you locked into a long-term lease?
And we were locked into a lease, of course.
Yes.
And all these things hit us at the same time. And from then on, we struggled.
Yeah.
We were all right,
but
we struggled.
Yeah.
And we lasted in there.
But you'd have been caught in a way if you'd stayed in the old premises anyway, wouldn't you?
Well, if we'd stayed in the old premises, we could have ripped the guts out of it and restarted. Done it all, reconfigured it. Because the building's still there.
Yes.
It was meant to be pulled down. It was meant to be changed. It was, all these things were meant to be happening, but they never did. The building is still there. We could still be there.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll define it as historic now, and you won't be able to do
it. No, well, that's right. Well, it is. It's a beautiful old building. I love it. Yeah. It's fantastic upstairs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, Cafe Cube has been in there for years.
Yes, yeah.
So we could have stayed, but hindsight's a fantastic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So eventually, we decided that's it. We've had enough, and that was about 1995.
Yeah.
And we sold it. We sold the business, and we got enough money to cover our debts. That was it, because she was going to move the business in any case. And not long after, it just disappeared. She closed it down. It didn't work for her.
Mm.
This young girl bought it. So that was the end of that.
Mm.
But as I say, we ran it for 18 years. It brought up 3 kids, bought a house, ran 2 cars.
Yep.
So didn't do badly.
Didn't do well. Yeah.
We did all right out of it. And in the meantime, Robin had got bored with doing the shop in any case. So she'd gone and done her nursing training.
Okay.
And she became a psychiatric nurse.
Okay.
So she was working as well. And, they were hard times, but they were good times.
Yeah.
So I thought, what am I going to do? So I went relief teaching.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it.
And you were okay to do it, having spent so long out of the classroom?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock to go back, I'll tell you.
Had it changed a lot?
Well, one of the first jobs I had, because we lived in Tokomaru, we'd bought a house in Tokomaru and we lived out there, right next to Horseshoe Bend.
Mm.
And because I had no experience, I thought, well, where am I going to advertise myself as a relief teacher? And I thought, well, I'll try Levin. I thought to myself, because of Massey and because Palmerston North was always reasonably hard to get into as a teacher, I'll try Levin. There are some tough schools in Levin. And one of the first jobs I had, I walked into the classroom, and they were about 7-year-olds, I suppose. And one kid was being particularly noisy, and what's his name, you know, just as class was starting, and I asked him to be quiet. He stood up, threw his desk across the room, stormed out of a classroom, grabbed his bag and disappeared. And I was, I was just in shock. Yeah. I'd never come across anything like this before. Yeah. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But in any case, it was sorted out. I sent for the principal or sent for someone and they got it sorted out. But honestly.
Welcome back to teaching.
Yeah, welcome back to teaching. So I ended up doing a lot of very tough schools. Mm. I mean, very tough schools.
Yeah.
And I went out to Foxton Primary, probably one of the toughest schools I've ever taught at the time.
Mm.
A lot of gang problems out there at the time.
Yeah.
I did a lot of the schools in Levin, just about did every school in Levin, and they weren't easy.
Mm.
And then as I got known, I started to move more towards Palmerston North and managed to get jobs in good schools and different schools around Palmerston North.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was good.
So how come you didn't like it early on, but then relief teaching?
No planning.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about that. All I had to do was go in and do my job and go home.
And doing your job was just keep the kids occupied, or there was a certain curriculum?
Well, sometimes teachers would leave you a plan.
Yeah.
And you followed the plan.
Yeah.
And sometimes you followed the plan and then did some of your own stuff.
Hmm.
And other times you'd do your own stuff for the whole day.
Okay.
And I had lesson plans in my head and carried stuff with me.
Yeah.
So I could do a whole day at any level from juniors to senior to year eights. Yeah, easily.
Okay.
I always had lots of books because I loved reading to the kids. I always had lots of books in my bag and I could read them stories and we could do activities.
Yeah.
I found out very quickly that they liked quizzes, so we used to do quizzes and stuff like that. So I did that for five, six.
What about drama? That's something that's
never my thing.
No, okay,
yeah, never my thing. Yeah. So did that for 5 or 6 years, and then I saw a job advertised at Scholastic New Zealand.
Ah, yeah. And that's the educational book
publishers. That's the educational book publishers. And so I applied for it and I got it.
Okay.
So I worked for Scholastic New Zealand for 4 years as a book rep. And my area was from Levin to Gisborne to New Plymouth. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in between.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of driving.
Yeah.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Was going around schools or
going around schools and libraries and bookshops.
Okay.
Doing all of them.
A whole lot. Yeah.
And no, it was good. They were a good company to work for. Gave me a nice car.
Yeah. And that meant that you'd leave on Monday and do a round trip.
Well, I had it planned so if I was working locally, I'd be out on Mondays and Tuesdays. You had to do that. If I was going away, I usually went away on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'd spend 3 days. Okay. I mean, be home by Friday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a long drive.
Yeah.
I'd go to Gisborne, 5 hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I'd go to the library and get a talking book.
Yeah.
And while I was travelling, I'd be listening to stories and stuff like that. Yeah. That was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Put me onto a few authors I'd never read before, so that was good.
Yeah.
And did that for 4.5 years. And then while I was doing that, Robin said to me one day, she said, it'd be really nice to have a cafe out in Tokomaru. And I said, yeah, it would. And we've got the perfect position to do it because we're right next to Horseshoe Bend, which is an area where people love to come in the summer and swim. And it's very, very popular. So we discussed it and we discussed it and we discussed it and we thought, oh, why not? Give it a go.
When was this?
That was about 2004. So we looked around and looked around and looked around, and then we thought, well, the easiest way of doing it and getting a decent sized building is to actually buy a building and move it on. So we looked around and looked at heaps of different things and never found anything we liked. And then I don't know how we came across it, but we came across this old school, and it was from the Waitahora Valley, which is out from Dannevirke. And we went and had a look, and I took a builder friend of mine, and we went and had a look, and he had a look at it, and he said, yeah, he said, this is, you know, it's solid. There's no rot or anything like that. And it was a relocatable building. So it just made it so much easier. So we bought the classroom. It was a one-teacher school, so it had, on the back of the classroom, there was the teacher's room, you know, the sort of staff room. And a little storage cupboard. And so we bought it, and we got it moved. And we also bought the library, which is a generic dental clinic, you know, the old square. But this one was slightly bigger. It was a double. So we bought that as well. It had never been used as a dental clinic. It was the library. So we got that moved as well. So we bought them both. We got them both all for a good price. Moved them on. And then over the next year, my builder friend did them up and put on big decks. And it cost us a lot more money than we thought it would.
As you often happens,
yeah. So we were in massive debt. We just got ourselves debt-free. And then we were in massive debt again. But we started off. We got a chef, and a newly qualified chef. And we started the cafe. And it went all right. Robin still worked. Because we weren't open all the time. You know, we sort of, I think we did Wednesday to Sunday. So she still kept working part-time. She cut down back on her hours. And I still did the odd relieving job to bring in the extra money. The kids had left home by now. So they were, you know, they were older, and they'd sort of independent, so we didn't have to support them. And it was good, but hard, because, you know,
the hours,
and the work we had to put in. And then the chef left, and we got another chef. And then the first winter came. And all of a sudden, we weren't getting a customers. And we thought, God, what are we going to do? We've got to generate an income somehow. How are we going to do it? Well, over the years, of course, through my association with different bands and people I knew and things like that, I knew a lot of musicians. One of the musicians I'd become good friends with, a guy called Bullfrog Rata. And Tururata, but known as professionally known as Bullfrog. So I gave him a ring, and I said to him, look, this is the situation. Would you come and do a gig? Bring your band and do a gig. I'd love to. So he came out, and we thought, how are we going to do it? Well, we'll do dinner and show. So those people who want to come out for a meal, come out for a meal. And then we have the show afterwards. So they pay for the show and they pay for the meal. The money they pay for the show goes to the band. The money they pay for the meal goes to us. And then they can buy alcohol, because we had a license. So they can buy alcohol and things like that as well. But we were careful with the alcohol. So we only ever sold beer and wine. We never got into spirits. because living out in the country,
yeah,
we didn't want drunk people driving back into town.
Yeah.
So we only ever sold beer and wine. And it worked. It worked really, really well.
So you'd have what, a concert a week? Or?
No. We were very sparse to begin with.
Okay.
And then another friend of mine's...
So when you say it worked for those occasions or it drew more people to the cafe?
Well, what happened was it worked for those occasions, but it sort of grew like Topsy. So we started off, as I say, with Bullfrog. We'd had music in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon with just people coming in and playing a bit, but nothing formal. So this was the first formal gig we did. Then another friend of mine was Sue Pugmire. And Sue's got her own band as well. So I gave her a ring. Would you come and do a gig? So she came and did a gig. Well, that was it. I never had to ask another band. I had bands ringing me up. Can we come and play? And all of a sudden I had bands from all over New Zealand ringing me up. Can we come and play? And then I had bands from Britain and America.
So how did they hear of you?
Just through word of mouth.
Okay.
So a band, people talk to each other, as you know. And so musicians would say, we're going
but
to...
You'd be a small audience, though. It's not a high income for the band.
No. Yeah. But we became a major music centre for the whole of the Manawatu.
And this was at weekends? So the nights when they try to get a big audience, they'd be happy to come to a...
Happy to come. Because they weren't mainstream bands.
Okay, yes.
They were country music or folk music or blues music or a bit of jazz.
Okay.
And... they weren't going to fill the Regent or fill the Globe, or but they were happy to come to us, and we'd get 70 people in there.
Yeah, so you just accidentally stumbled across a really good idea. Okay.
And a friend of mine, he was telling me that a friend of his was in California in a bar, and someone started talking about our cafe.
This is part 2 of 3. Listen next week for part 3. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.